Triple M Rocks Sunday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
In 2017.
It's a troll!
Run hard and tackle hard.
You'll hear more footy than ever before. Across the Triple M Network. For Bryden's lawyers, protecting your future. Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler, and Anthony Maroon.
It's what rugby league's all about. Go!
Triple M rocks the footy.
This is Sunday Triple M NRL.
Well, welcome back to it. Thanks to Bryden's lawyers, protecting your future. 4 o'clock, our match of the day, live on Triple M. Good old Sydney rivals, Cronulla take on Manly. They took each other on in the 73 grand final, 78, which finished in a draw. They're great rivals, Manly, Cronulla. And Dan will call that game for you this afternoon at 4, just to be on the safe side. You always download the app at triplem.com.au. Brand new Sharks chairman joins us at 1:30 this afternoon. But right now it's time for this. And the Raging Bull is a segment where Gordon Tallis just gets let loose.
It can be good.
Sounds
it can
like
be.
The bull's being gelded there, doesn't it?
It did, didn't it? Right at the end.
Yeah, he's in a lot of pain. What's got the bull raging today?
Well, it can be raging good or
some
raging
would say it
bad.
Happened a long time ago.
But obviously, the Canberra Raiders. I thought yesterday was a real chance for them. 5:30 kickoff in the nation's capital on a cold day against the Broncos with no Anthony Milford. Darius Boyd breaking his hand in Origin, not playing. You got guys like Gillett and Maguire backing up. I thought it was a real opportunity for the Raiders to kickstart their season. We know that they can go on that run, but I've been really disappointed with the way they've played this year compared to how they started and the way they finished last year. And I just can't put my finger on it. And I think that, you know, there's been how Rapana and Leilua were absolutely brilliant. And then when teams are fixed up, their market offence and they split and they jump real quick on them that they haven't found another way to win. And I don't know whether it's the halves and the hooker and Little Hodson, who was absolutely brilliant last year. Everybody was singing his praise. I think he was nearly Dally M player of the year. Like, that's how good he was going. But there's just something not quite right. And I don't know whether it's a spine, whether they're forwards or whatever. But with Canberra at the moment, with the ability that they've got, they shouldn't have only won 6 games of football this year and sitting out of the 8.
There's no doubt they're playing dumb at the moment. You go back to some of the games, they've had a lot of close calls.
Absolutely.
And this was part of their problem last year, and they managed to overcome it. I think this last year when we were a bit unsure about Canberra midway through the season, then they suddenly clicked and went on that 12-game winning streak. What they got right was their decision-making, and the Raiders are playing. Yeah, you watch them play against Penrith, and they led by 8 points with 4 minutes left in the game or whatever it was. And all they had to do was play clever football. Not brilliant football, just play smart football. Kick the ball to the corner.
Percentage
football. And yet they're not a percentage team. They don't think percentages. They don't think in those terms. So they're a side that when the moment comes to make a call, that they're still even with an eight-point lead and 4 minutes left, they're still thinking score. We need to score. Let's get the ball. We got it. Let's score. They don't need to. They just got to run the clock out. That's all they have to do to win the game, run the clock out. But because they're thinking score, they turned it over. Penrith got the ball. Penrith went and scored. Suddenly, the contest is back on when they should have been putting it to bed. And that's been their problem. I thought last night that there was a period there where when they went ahead 12-6, you could just see them starting to motor a little bit and off they went. And as quickly as it was there, it disappeared. And again, just little dumb decisions they make, particularly with the ball. They do have the odd problem in defensively as well, but it's most noticeable when they've got the ball. But they make a poor decision from a game management point of view, and it really comes to bite them on the backside. And once they do that, it's almost like it surprises them. How did that happen? Why do we get in that situation when all you got to do sometimes is just put the game to bed? And look, the flip side of that, we saw the flip side of that. That's what the Blues tried to do on Wednesday night, and they went too early with it. So there's two games being played out there every time you play football. There's the game on the scoreboard and there's the game on the clock. And the clock brings its own pressure. And the Raiders don't understand that aspect of the game quite yet. They still think they've got the ball in their hand, they're going to go after you. When in fact, you know what? You've got the ball in the hand, just roll it into touch, take a slow scrum, slow set of six after it, and then off
and they become the hunted, because last year everybody's going, oh, geez, the Raiders are going good. But as a player, you're going, oh, yeah, it's still the Raiders. You go there. And I reckon that they surprised you how quick, how much ball movement there was, how much pressure they put around your ruck with their dummy half running in that. And then, obviously, this year, everybody's had a whole pre-season and, okay, well, this is what they're good at. And the Raiders haven't been able to go away from what has worked. And when it doesn't work, and then that's what you're saying. It's just like, okay, well, let's kick to the corner. Let's get in a bit of a grind until we, you know, get that opportunity.
Defensively, they've got to get in the grind. But look, the way they attack, I think that's the way the game is headed. You look at St. George Illawarra. St. George Illawarra, when they were going really well this year for that first period, was because they were playing a lot of second phase football, and they got rid of all those block shapes. Those block shapes and that all that lateral stuff, teams have figured out you've got to go forward before you go sideways. And the teams that it's almost so slow these days, your attack when you start playing
shapes. Well, I reckon that's going to help Brisbane, Paul, because I wrote with Darius Boyd breaking his hand, that's what Milford and Hunt were doing. They were going down the field, and everybody's talked about their form because they were going to Darius to do his play. Now, without no Darius, it's actually theirs and Benji's and Nikarima. So whoever's team it is, it's theirs to stand up and have a go.
The problem is when sides that do like to go through the middle come up against resistance, they're forced. They feel like they're forced to go sideways. And I think that's what the Dragons have gone away from the last couple of weeks now. Sides are going in knowing that they're going to come and try through the middle. So they're going to compress their lineup a little bit and then force the Dragons to play a game in which they don't do very well. And
but
I think,
still got to go upstream, haven't you?
But I guess it's just a natural thing for their playmakers to all of a sudden, when you know they're met with resistance through the middle, to try and give it to the outside guys to create something out of nothing. And that's when the game plan sort of all goes pear-shaped. And I think with the Raiders as well, they seem to compound. Whether it's errors, when, you know, if they get a try scored against them, they don't handle it mentally. They look like, here we go again. I just think they haven't got that mindset that they had last year, which was just, they were real winners last year. And I don't know whether they're obviously lacking in confidence. I don't know what the answer is. It's a bit of a strange one with the Raiders.
It was real opportunity miss last night. Look, I don't discount them at the moment. Everybody says, look, the story in the paper, season over. But the fact is, they're only 2 points or 4 points out of the eight. They're not that far behind. That's only two wins. And the way the competition, as we all know, there's a real congestion around the middle of the competition every season now, because teams are so good, the competition's so even that they're beating each other. And occasionally you'll get teams down the bottom that are going to beat teams up the top and those sorts of things. And the Raiders, they're a streaky side, and they will continue to be a streaky side. And I guarantee you, when they put two or three wins together back-to-back, they will start to go on a bit of a tear. And suddenly, if you put back-to-back wins together in this competition, you start going up the table pretty quickly.
All right. Well, we look back to round nine for the Raiders. They've Dogs got them, Knights got them, Golden Point, Manly, Panthers got them, Broncos. So there's only that one, you know, shock game that when the Knights got them. But now they've got the Cowboys at home this coming Saturday night. They take on the Cowboys at home. Then they've got the bye. So Canty doesn't believe they're gone for the year. What about you, Ryan? Are they gone?
Oh, no, they're not gone for the year. I think they'll be battling off for sort of seventh or eighth. They need to get a hurry on. That goes without saying.
That was the go button, I think, yesterday. If they would have won that, you think...
Their top four's gone.
Yeah, I agree. Top four's gone.
All right, Sunday Triple M NRL is thanks to Bryden's Lawyers. Now, we've got 2 minutes left in this Entrust Super Cup game. Newcastle have run away with it in the end. Newcastle 32, leading the Illawarra Steelers 14. That score update is all thanks to Tyre Power. Sunday Triple M NRL, thanks to Bryden's Lawyers, with Gordon Tallis, Paul Kent, and so too Ryan Girdler and Maroon. But just on the back of that game, the Broncos game yesterday, and he's playing his game a little bit different, isn't he now, Benji? But by golly, he's just got a new lease of life.
Well, it is, and it's that ability to convince yourself that the older you get, you can't be that young 19 and 20-year-old. Benji had an unbelievable running game, stepping game when he first came in, but now it's a passing game, and some of his passes yesterday were just sublime. I saw him, you know, go and he attracted players, a bit like Cliffy Lyons-esque, where he went across field just slow enough where they hit him in the back and he turned the ball back inside for big Corey Oates. Well, what a guy to be turning it back into, 115-kilo winger, but... Benji's selective passing, and the way he straightens the defensive line, I mean, sorry, the way he straightens the attack is really important for
it was a good buy by the Broncos. It was a good decision to get Benji up there for a lot of different reasons. One, the fact that
he just rang Wayne and said, mate, and then thank you very much. And I think, and Wayne said, what are you doing? He goes, oh, well, I'm just probably going to retire. He goes, well, do you want to retire? Or do you want to come up here and, you know, see how it all pans out? And Benji backed himself. So it's a big move. And at like his age, and he got really fit. He went through one of Wayne Bennett's pre-seasons, and he was playing great for like Redcliffe, obviously, with Hunt and Milford, they were going to get the first opportunity. But I think Benji's going to be really important for this team and the development of those young guys going forward. We all knew, you know, when he was training with Milford and he just said, hey, mate, we don't cut corners or whatever. And I think, you know, with having someone like Benji that is, and it's not outspoken, but, you know, just sort of honest with his own appraisal of the way he plays and everybody around him, I think it's good for the joint.
Do you think if Benji, you know, maintains his sort of form and builds a really good combination now with Ben Hunt, that Milford could go back into one now Darius is out?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wayne Bennett's about winning. I tell you what Wayne Bennett's law to. He's law to winning and success. And if that's the best thing for the team moving forward, he will make that decision. You saw him move Darren Lockyer from like 1 to 6 or whatever, and Gene Miles from the centres to playing the forwards, and then that's just what happens. And he moved Wally Lewis from number 6 to play lock when Kevin Walters arrived as well. So he's not frightened to make those decisions.
Just while we've got a couple of minutes, guys, before we go to the break, I read Adrian Prajenko this morning.
You read?
I read, yeah, I can read. I read like this. The World Cup is coming up in a couple of months' time.
Okay. So it's not just your hosting, it's your reading as well.
Sorry to interrupt. Go for it, Marin.
No worries, mate. World Cup update here. Brian Smith could be added to the New Zealand coaching ranks after Steve McNamara has accepted a role with the Catalans. So we might see a return of Brian Smith to the World Cup, and he could be a good inclusion for New Zealand, I guess, going into that.
I reckon he'd be very good. You know, one thing Brian Smith knows, he knows footy. He knows a lot of those little small technicalities. He's failing as a coach. Sometimes he starts to wear a little bit thin, but in a World Cup scenario, I think he'd be ideal. I think he would be very, very good for the Kidwell's coach. Yeah, look, how bad am I going? I think he'd be good for Kidwell because he just brings that technical aspect, and he recognises talent. He recognises what players can do for you. Part of, I think, picking a successful World Cup squad is picking players who you can bring into the team to play their role. And Brian Smith can recognise that. You get a guy in and he'll just do a job for you.
His plan will be unbelievable. And,
yeah.
And where Brian Smith did wear thin is the way he would talk to you, the way that he'd motivate you, just delivering the same.
Is that the right team to get Brian Smith involved in that? And the Warriors?
Well, I'd keep him away from
And give him videos.
I would have him on the, I'd have him, yeah, doing all the technical, have all the video side of it. I'd have him sitting there and assessing your players and basically finding their jobs for them and talking a little bit to the players. Look, I want you to do this. I want you to start trying to straighten up here or whatever that they say from a technical aspect. But you wouldn't want him there trying to motivate and get your players up. But that wouldn't be his job either. That's the head coach's job.
Where do you guys think that in the last 5 to 6 years, going back to 2008, do you feel like New Zealand, the national rugby league team, do you feel like they've gone backwards a little bit?
Well, I don't think they've gone backwards. They got to number one. So, yeah, I suppose there's only way from there is backwards. But, no, I don't think so. They're a good side. But they're now competitive on a regular basis with Australia. You go back 20 years ago, they flummed the odd test win. They didn't really have a team that you went into every contest with a 50-50. And they never win the Anzac test. They just don't. They just, for whatever reason, they're never up for it. But come into the format that's there at the end of the year, they play their way into competitions, whether it's a Four Nations or a World Cup, they'll be there.
And just while I'm throwing questions at you at random, Ryan, we just watched that Intra Super Cup game, Newcastle and the Steelers, which the Knights won. But we see Hocko still running around in, in that second tier competition.
Yep.
How would it affect a player, A, mentally doing that week after week after you've reached the heights of NRL and Origin? A, that's the first part of the question. And B, I wonder if he's part of the Knights' plans long term.
Well, I look, it doesn't look like it, does it?
No.
I mean, Newcastle, it's not like they're out there winning a lot of games. And you said it yourself before in jest, Maroon, you know, how good are you going if you can't even make the Newcastle Knights
side? Well, I said that off air.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. But it's, you know, it's an open forum here and we like to share with our listeners. But look, you know, yeah, he'd be really disappointed. There's no two ways about it. You know, good on him for hanging in there and not, you know, packing his boots up and going home, because he's been down in, you know, the New South Wales Cup now for probably about 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So it's not a short-term thing. He's out there with the fans. He's probably giving these young guys that are coming up a really good education and sharing a lot of his knowledge and experience with them, which is great for the club. He's a great club man, but on a personal note, I'd imagine he'd be shattered.
Okay, and just on Newcastle. Sorry, Keddy, did you want to add to that, mate?
I just thought what you said off air earlier is about right. If he wasn't playing for Newcastle, he'd be an ideal player for Newcastle Chase.
Well, of course, we've got... you can. I have just checked with the NRL. You can still get tickets next week. Newcastle versus the West Tigers.
I'm just kidding.
I'm kidding.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know what he does.
Kidding Hodgkinson. Or joking or whatever.
He's a very good player, but clearly he's just on the outside at Newcastle, and he should really be looking towards going to England now, I think.
Okay,
Sunday, just for his own welfare.
Yeah. Sunday Triple M NRL. Paul Kent, Ryan Girdler, Gordon Tallis, Anthony Maroon. We do it for Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. Got a brand new segment called Harden Up. Harden the
Asterix.
Brought to you by
Forex.
Forex. Okay, we'll go with that. And we're going to do Harden the, you know what, up next. And then, of course, we'll be joined by the brand new chairman of Cronulla. We'll be joining us very shortly, too, in about 7 minutes' time, as Triple M rocks the footy. 1, 2, 3,
four. Never miss a minute of the footy.
Too good. Oh, mate.
Download the Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere.
Listen to that crap. I'm saying hallelujah.
This is Sunday Triple M NRL.
And we do it thanks to Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. 4 o'clock this afternoon, two of the great old rivals of rugby league get together, Manly and the Sharks, and that game will be called right here on Triple M at 4 o'clock. Dan Ganane, it'll be on the Triple M you are now listening to, but just to be on the safe side, you can always download the old app, eCorusau, the old app at triplem.com.au. Have it on your phone and away you go. Bob's your uncle, as they say. Let's talk some rugby league. Gordon Tallis, Paul Kent, Ryan Girdler and Anthony Maroon. Our number is 1-3-3-5-3. And David Riccio writes in the telly today, a $28 million centre of excellence and an all-weather Shark Park, all-weather Shark Park for both NRL and A-League matches is the bold vision for newly appointed Cronulla chairman Dino Mezzatesta. And Dino is joining us on the phone for the first time. Dino, welcome to Sunday Triple M NRL.
Thank you very much, and it's a pleasure to be on board. Thank you.
Good on you, mate. I didn't know there was an interest there in the A-League.
Oh, look, we're in a unique position where, you know, we own our own stadium, and therefore it would be a miss if we didn't have an interest. A little bit different to other sort of NRL clubs. When you own your own asset, you've got to get a wider utilisation than just 12 times a year.
Mm.
Hey, Dino, congratulations on the new appointment. Obviously, the new stadium would be right at the forefront, but what are some of the other things that you want to tick in your time at Cronulla?
Yeah, no, thank you very much, Gordon, for that. Oh, look, there's a number of things that we need to do, and really, as mentioned in today's article, like, you know, we've got the foundations laid, and it's about bringing back some stability and a continuation of some very good work that's already on the ground. And really, our responsibility as a board and as a management team is to look at the sustainability and the future of the club, and that's encompassing everything from the development that's on foot to the success on the field as well as off the field, and then of course, our ambitions for centre of excellence and new stadiums and et cetera to make sure that we become that powerhouse in the NRL that we all believe we certainly have an opportunity to achieve.
Dino, I just want to ask you, how tough is it in the current climate to build the business of rugby league? You guys are doing an admirable job down there at Cronulla. I think the plans you've got in place and what you want to do with the club and the way you see the future of the club is something most clubs should aspire to, but it's also something that it seems to be a bit of a difficult sell. How tough is it to thrive in the current market and to expand and grow?
Yeah, there is no questions that it's challenging out there, certainly. You know, we're confronted by a number of issues, and that's not just our club, it's a number of clubs. But look, I mean, every club, I dare say, has the same ambitions as what we have, and that's to have success. So while success may look in certain forms and shapes, I mean, for us, it's more about making sure that the playing group and what happens on the field is replicated off the field. We invest heavily in making sure that, you know, the coaching staff and the management staff are well-equipped and well-supported, and that's why we look to the things of the future. But there is undoubtedly no questions in today's environment. It is tough, you know. Crowd numbers are somewhat stable and somewhat down. The game is challenged, and we have a marvellous opportunity though to make sure that we do our part in this small community to you know, make sure that we nourish the junior representation here and make sure that it's sustainable longer term.
One of the concerns that the NRL has often had is about the number of clubs in Sydney, and Cronulla was always seen as the club that was the most easy to move elsewhere, to relocate. It was sort of, you're basically surrounded by St George, Illawarra. One point there, the club was vulnerable financially. But you're setting yourself up now that you're a club that really is taking that market share in that part of the city, aren't you?
Oh, look, I'd like to think that we've dispelled that myth and that sort of rumour, because if you look at some of the stats that have just recently come out, I mean, record membership, you know, yes, we've got our first minor premiership, but that's not where we want to leave it. And we continue to go, you know, grow on those foundations, and we just want to get better and better at it. So absolutely, undoubtedly, that whatever was in the past is certainly a new landscape for us moving into the future.
And you're brought in on the back of the Asada scandal. You voted to power there. And one of the innovations you're looking at doing this year is bringing in hair testing for players. Tell us about that.
Look, we'll continue to look at anything that's out there. You know, whilst, as you know, it's not certainly governed as yet, or it's certainly not, you know, we've still got hurdles to get through. But, I mean, we'll continue to look at whatever else is out there. We want to drive that charge as well and make sure that we're the front runner in protecting not only our players but the community at large. And I think, you know, every club has got a responsibility to be doing things in that nature. So we're no different. And, you know, if there's something new out there, we'll continue to look at it. But, of course, we'll go through the proper channels.
How have the players accepted it?
Oh, look, I mean, that's a discussion really that, you know, we don't have that discussion daily. It's one of the things that as a management team, we like to think that our job is to protect them. They're not meant to sort of be in that sort of discussion. All they need to know is that they're well protected and that they'll be looked after.
And they shouldn't care, because it's the best interest for them and the club moving forward.
Absolutely correct. Yeah, absolutely correct. And that's our job and part of our responsibility.
When Damien Kerr stood down as the chairman, we were talking about it on here, and the way he handled himself was very good, I thought. And I said people surprised the way he handled it, and I said, well, he shouldn't be. I said he's the smartest man at the club, and I'll apologise to you. I forgot all about you. But what you have done, Dino, is you've turned that club around from a club that 4 years ago was vulnerable financially and geographically. What's the future for the club? How big can it get? Do you see yourself or envision the club one day will be a Sydney powerhouse?
Oh, 100%. That's exactly our ambition. And I just want to touch on that, because we shouldn't ignore the contribution that Damien made. And what we're simply doing is now continuing on that very good work. And there's a number of the board that are still the same people that joined, you know, me and Damien 4 years ago. And we continue on the same passion, and we've got the same agenda. So, and we all sharing that ambition to absolutely become a powerhouse. You know, we're looking at not today and tomorrow. Yes, we want the next premiership and the one after that. But we also need to make sure that our responsibility to this community is that the club is well positioned in 50 years to come.
How do you get other kids following you? Obviously, you know, the Shire, and then I drove my kids down there and we had breakfast, and yeah, I mean, everybody in Cronulla goes for Cronulla. But how do you get it? Would it be for you guys taking some games to other states to try to build the fan and the membership base?
That's always on the agenda, Gordon. Absolutely, it's always on the agenda. But, you know, first and foremost, we'll look after the fans, we'll look after the members. And you know, whilst financially sometimes it may seem attractive to take a game abroad, it'll be for the best interest of the club and the fans and the members. And that's when we'll start to look at that. But it's on the radar. You know, we'll look at that opportunity if and when it arises. But it's something that we would certainly pursue. I mean, question to, you know, building a fan base. I mean, after winning last year's premiership, one of the loveliest things I've seen is as you walk around the Shire, you see all the people in the jerseys, you know, and I'm talking about young kids, and you can see that they've got their team now, and we've got to build on that, you know. And sometimes it goes unnoticed, the wonderful things that our playing group and our management, our coaching staff do out there in community, and there's quite a lot of it, and that's not foreign to other clubs as well, right? Everyone does their part. It's unfortunate that you don't get to see some of that, though, because our involvement in community is significant.
Now, apart from your role there at the Sharks, you'll obviously have to fill a role too with the CBA in negotiation at the moment as a club chairman. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, look, I attended my first chairs meeting the other week, and I think Todd did a great job of sharing, you know, some information and getting an update. So, as you know, I'm new now to that group as well, so I'll spend my time getting the right amount of detail and make sure I'm well informed before we head into anything. But look, it's a good group of people that, you know, are well informed, and and I'd certainly, you know, take some guidance from the people that have been around a lot longer than me. But there's a big job at hand, and you know, I know the NRL know that exactly, and the quicker they can sort of get these things put down and put to bed, the better it is for all.
Dino, your day job, you're the chief operating officer at Star Casinos, so you obviously know your way around the balance sheets and profit and loss statements and all the rest of it. And I understand when Todd showed all the clubs the other day that the details, one of the stories the NRL peddled out was that Todd received a round of applause for it. Another version I've heard is that some of the chairmen sat there and thought, when you know your budget and you know your 80% of what you're going to your income for the next 5 years, how can you still run at a loss?
Well, that's a good question. I'm not going to answer on behalf of the other chairs or the other people in the room, but, you know, like I said, it was my first meeting and the first time I've seen it presented, you know, in that way. And look, I think you did a wonderful job at least of presenting the information, right? And I believe that that was also something new that historically hasn't been done. So congratulations to them for doing that. But that's a very good question. That's probably a question for Todd more than it is for me. I'm sure there's a number of other details that are in the background that suggests what they're dealing with today and some of the challenges that they face.
Do you see a rosy future, or do you think we need to really sit down at some point soon and look at the way things are being handled?
Are you talking at a Cronulla level?
I'm talking at an NRL level, and I'm talking about your participation as a club. There's obviously wider concerns within the game, and clubs are, you know, we've got the CBA currently being negotiated. We've got the players asking for 29% revenue, and the NRL basically have thrown the books open to the players. The Player Association believe that there's more money there that's not being disclosed. And then big picture, the game's not growing. It's not expanding. We have no plans for expansion as far as clubs in other places go. Like, where are we sitting here? And from your point of view, how quickly can we start to grow again as a game?
Yeah, good, very good point. And look, there's certainly room for improvement, right, as there always should be. And I think everyone's recognised that. It's a case of just how do we get there and how do we get there quickly? Because, yeah, I'm sure that people, you know, around us understand that the game is somewhat in a predicament at present where numbers are down and how do we arrest that situation. So from what I could see at that presentation, they've got some people in the right places that are working on that. You know, it's an evolution. It's got to be changed. It's like, you know, we talk of centre of excellence. I mean, if you talk rugby league 2 decades ago and you suggested you wanted to build a centre of excellence, people would laugh at you, right? But tomorrow's game is all about technology. It's about technique. It's about preparation. It's about planning. And the rugby league, the NRL, is no different to any other club. They've got to look at that and they've got to look at it seriously, you know, and it could be a change of direction in some way, shape or form, but I'm sure they've got the right people there doing that. And I think as clubs, we've also got a responsibility to jump on board and help that cause.
Dino, just before you go, mate, and for those who've just joined us, we're speaking to Dino Mezzatesta, the new chairman of the Cronulla Sharks on Sunday Triple M NRL. Mate, what about we go down there and call a lot of games at Southern Cross Group Stadium, and we noticed that the project you're doing there, the home units and the shopping precinct, it's all coming along. Is it all coming along to plan with time and budget and whatnot?
Yeah, absolutely it is. So stage one is complete, and that's some 220, you know, residential apartments that are now out and people certainly living in them. And stage two is, you know, is not far away, and probably about another 120 to come on board. And then they'll release stage three. So absolutely on target, on track. You know, it's being well received. That precinct will change considerably, you know. And again, it's part of our responsibility to make sure that, you know, the future of that precinct is that we play a major role. And that's what our responsibility as a board is, as well as a management. But that's certainly well on track, and it's as you can see, it's certainly taking shape.
All right, mate. Great game this afternoon. Great old rivals at 4 o'clock. You can hear that game on Triple M, mate. Best of luck for the Sharkies today.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and certainly looking forward to the game this afternoon.
Good on you. Dino Mezzatesta is the new chairman of the Cronulla Sharks. He joins us on Sunday Triple M NRL with Gordon Tallis, Paul Kent, Ryan Girdler and Maroon. A number is 133-53. 2 o'clock this afternoon, Dragons will take on the Knights. We'll get you the latest on that game and all the score updates thanks to Tyre Power as Triple M rocks the footy.
For Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. This is Sunday Triple M NRL.
The time for talk is over.
With Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler and Anthony Maroon.
Oh, the bunker's getting an absolute flogging today.
Triple M rocks the footy.
Welcome back to it. 133-53 as the number. The Holden Cup game was played earlier today. It kicked off at 9:45. We had a lot of interest in that game because in the Dragons side was Tristan Saylor. And then in the night side was Jack Johns, obviously Tristan, the son of Wendell, and Jack, the son of our very own Matthew here at Triple M in Sydney. So the score...
Oh, so it's not Joey's son?
No. Oh.
He's not the singer's son.
No, it's definitely...
It's Matthew's son.
Definitely Matthew's son.
Cool.
The score was Dragons beat the Knights 21 points to 16.
Well,
so there we
he
go.
Can tackle little Jack Johns.
Yeah,
well, not little.
Yeah.
He's a big kid.
And Tristan's going well too. Wendell's young,
yeah, bloke. Yeah, playing really good footy, Tristan.
So good on you, Tristan. Congratulations to your side and commiserations to the Johns team. But good on you, fellas, for getting out and following in your dad's footsteps. That score update is all thanks to Tyre Power. Buy four selected Pirelli Cinturato tyres and get a Caltex StarCash card valued at up to $100. You get that free from our mates at Tyre Power. And it's time for this.
This is Anthony. He owns a big, shiny, fancy f***ing four-wheel drive. But he doesn't know how to change a tyre. Harden the f*** up, Anthony.
Come on! Harden the
f*** up! I reckon rugby needs to harden the f*** up a bit. This is Jack. He spends an hour a day doing his hair. You're also a DJ, aren't you, mate?
Yeah.
Well, why don't you... harden the f*** up. So come on, Australia. Take your skirt off and harden the f*** up.
Yeah, harden the up. Okay, who needs to harden themselves up? Who needs to harden themselves up, Gordon?
You do after that.
And would you like to start this off, Paul? Hey?
I'll tell you who needs to harden.
This is your segment,
I'll tell
Paul.
You who needs to harden. No, I'll tell you. New South Wales need to. Because once again, they lose the game of origin and they look for excuses. They look for reasons why, instead of saying, you know what, we're just going to go out and we're going to play better next time and we're going to get the result. You don't hear, when Queensland lose an origin game, you don't hear anything like what you do out of New South Wales. Gerds, retort?
Oh, look, it's tough. I guess you've got to search for answers. You've got to come up with reasons. But I think that New South Wales have taken some accountability from their loss. I think a lot of the blame's been squared upon people that don't really deserve it, to be honest, especially by the public. And I think they'll go up there in game three and hold a really good account of themselves. I haven't heard too many excuses. I've heard the referee once or twice, but...
Well, Jared Hayne unloaded on the referee in yesterday's press to both papers, so he can't be claiming he was misquoted. And look, if I'm looking at the game from Jared's point of view, I'd be looking at a couple of things closer to home than the referees.
Oh, you'd be disappointed in his performance.
He should be too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And not just, look, certainly that try to Morris. He should have passed the ball to Morris. He realised too late. And it wasn't even tackle five, so he realised too late. Then he compounded the error by trying to flip it over the back once he realised he'd blown the try. Then there was the other opportunity where he did that. He went for the highlight reel flick pass that basically just did nothing, went over the sideline. And, yeah.
Discipline was key.
Discipline was key.
And that's all comes fall into that
category.
And
not only that, defensively, Jared was playing a game of football where defensively there were times where he would not move up with the line because I think he was trying to conserve his energy.
So that's an individual.
Yeah.
I think you're saying New South Wales, but Jared's an individual.
No, but I think everybody in general, right?
I don't think the other players have come out and said too
much. No, I don't. But I think... The excuses for not targeting Thurston, I think they should have targeted Thurston. To come out and say, well, he was defending on the wing. I don't think he was defending on the wing. He was there at times, but there's certainly other times you could have got to him.
I think
Frizzell got to him early.
I think a really poor excuse is blaming Mitchell Pearce. And I actually feel really sorry for the kid because he is not their problem. Not too many of their players, and if you read Fifita's stats, he made 77 metres as a front rower. That's 100 down from game one.
And he also came out and blamed the referee in the press today. For
right.
Feeder, and then blamed his teammates for not getting him enough ball.
He had one hit up less. He had one hit up less than game one and 100 metres less. So all I'm saying is when Mitchell Pearce, there's no talk of the number six. There's no talk of the number one. There's no talk of the number nine that plays with him. There's no talk of the other 16 players that play with him. And I actually feel sorry. Mitchell Pearce is the best number seven in this state by so far. It's not fun.
Go on, tell me what Cooper Cronk and Jonathan Thurston did in the first half. Exactly. Exactly right. And I think that's what happened to New South Wales in the second half. They lost their way. And it's not always, the playmaker's fault. I think
what
it was,
were we down? 16-6
at half time. And Jonathan Thurston's putting one out on the full and right. then massive.
Maguire, there's one missed tackle. Maguire spins out, runs, and Cooper Cronk links up to Gay Guy, and we score to Chambers, then to Gay Guy, then Morgan goes across and flicks one back in. There's our two tries.
The hardest thing, and you know, Gordy, in Origin is when you're the side on the receiving end, when you don't have the same amount of possession as Queensland didn't in the, and that's what made their win so good, is they didn't have a lot of possession in the first half, but that they hold on and they believe that eventually it's going to come back and they're willing to wait that out. New South Wales reacted. As soon as things started going against them, they fell into old habits at Clubland and they became really ill-disciplined, started, as you said, Kenny, shooting out of the line, trying to go for the big play, not sticking to what had got them into that situation in the first place, not sitting there going, you know, boys, we just need to hold this out. This is Origin, okay? It's going to swing. This is a surge from Queensland. We've just got to hold on here. We'll get our opportunities at the back end. They didn't play like that, and I think they'll learn from that and do it in game three.
Queensland have a great expression. I really like it. They call it absorb. And whenever you talked about just there, Gerds, when Queensland surged, well, New South Wales didn't know what to do. They panicked a little bit. Whereas when Queensland feel that New South Wales surge, what they say to themselves, they don't use the word pressure, we're under pressure. That doesn't come into the vocabulary. Basically, they just say it's time to absorb. So what they do is they just sit there, they put their back against the wall, and they take whatever comes their way. And it's nothing more than a different mindset. And I think it's an admirable mindset because it takes a negative and turns it into a positive. But that's just something that Queensland have taught themselves over the years.
They're just going to go the 12 rounds.
Yeah, and
that's what they're going to do. They're going to go to the 12 rounds. You're not going to knock them out in 6 or 8.
Yeah, and it's, fellas, let's just get through this because at some point the momentum will shift the other way and then we'll get the ball and then we can go back at them. Whereas New South Wales, the minute that that momentum swing comes against them, too often the pedigree in the side is, oh, hang on, things aren't going right. We need to try something. We need to play our way out of this. So rather than just, let's just soak it up and wait till our time comes, wait till we get the penalty, we get a good kick downfield, whatever. We need to play our way out of this. Look, I'll go for the flick pass. I'll go for something that's not in the game plan to try and turn it. And that's the history of New South Wales. Back in the 80s when New South Wales had all the talent, Queensland didn't have the talent. So Queensland had just had to go out and do what they could. New South Wales went out and they had, on paper, more talent. So they tried to play their way out of situations. And that's why Queensland invariably won as many as more often than they lost. Because
Origin's been going for, what, 37 years or something? I reckon there's been, you know, this side we've sort of run out with some fair talent in it. But there's only been 10 years that we've run out with probably a better side in the 37.
All right.
On paper. But that's what you say, Kenty. It's just the fact that, you know, that just sort of believing in the bloke beside you can actually, you know, I mean, two guys working together is, you know, so much stronger than one. And, you know, that's what Queensland has been able to do for the last few years.
Sunday Triple M NRL, sorry, Kenty.
I was just saying, Corey Parker said that last year, and I loved what he said. He was talking about playing Origin, and he was asked about what his job was. He said, look, you go out and you playing for Queensland, what it meant, and he said, you go out, you do your job, and then when you've done your job, he said, you see if you can help out your mate next year. And I really like that simple philosophy.
It's corny, isn't it? It's good.
I love the way you sit there and just lap this up. Have you seen him sitting over there with his big smile on his face?
He's like a dog with two tails.
Oh, you're just feeding him. All right.
I thought you were going to say I was like a dog with something else.
It's your turn to tell us who needs
two heads.
Sunday Triple M, who needs to harden the?
I'm a big fan of what goes on the field stays on the field. I wasn't impressed with Andrew Fifita coming out at the end of the game and saying that, you know, there were some words said on full time that he didn't appreciate and that he'll be taking into game three. I think what goes on the field, that we saw a lot of clashes, you know, Maloney and Slater and we know Thurston and Pearce, everyone has their run-ins. You don't play Origin and not have a run-in. It's a game that everyone takes personally and it's a lot of emotion involved, but you suck it up and you get on with it and you remember it, but you don't need to talk about it. And I think the fact that he came out and spoke about it in front of the press.
You don't need to be motivated to play it, do you?
Is, you know,
cool. I tell you what I find, Rich, about that. You come out and you say, you know what? I didn't appreciate what those guys said to me out there. What'd they say to you, Andrew? Oh, what happens on the field stays on the field. Well, don't bring it up in the first place.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, seriously, if you're that offended by it, come out and say it. Come out and tell everybody. If you're not that offendable.
Let it burn. Just let it burn.
Yeah, but
that's
if you're
the
not.
Best case.
Well, exactly. Say nothing. But you don't let half the cat out. You know what I mean? You don't say, oh, I didn't like what they said to me. What they say, oh, I can't say.
Sunday.
Well, mate, say nothing.
Is thanks to Bryden's Lawyers protecting your future. We're 5 minutes away from kickoff.
I just had a cup of poor Kent's concrete and I'm hard.
You are.
You're hard, man. Stay sitting down then.
Thanks for the visual.
Now, yes. Tyson Frizzell will start in jumper number 19. Tarek Sims moves into the lock position. The bench for the Dragons is now Jacob Host, Lisa Namau, Hama Saleh and Tane Milne. So it looks like, so Tyson Frizzell to start. There's one change there to the Newcastle side. Josh King in jumper number 15 comes into the starting lineup and Sam Mateora comes onto the bench. Those changes are all thanks to Mungrel Boots, the great Mungrel Boots. Good to have them on board again in 2017 with, of course, the great cap and zip sides, and they're now available to suit every trade. Gordon Tallis, Paul Kent, Ryan Girdler, Anthony Maroon. Sunday Triple M NRL still to come. The award-winning Triple M NRL randomizer. That's where we pick a year, look at all the facts, but concentrate on the footy. The randomizer will be out again very shortly. Guys will have a closer look at the Roosters Storm game as well. And for Aveco Trucks, the two old rivals come together at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Sharks and Manly, triplem.com.au.
Triple M rocks. Sunday Arvo footy for Bryden's Lawyers. Protecting your future.